Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, overcomers and a transformed mind. Now, I want you to remember that we've been through the section called sovereignty, and we finished that. And we're doing the service area. Since God has saved us, he's done all these things. He's dealt with sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty. God has done everything up to this point in this book, through chapter 11, from 1 through 11. He's done all stuff for us. Now, what's our part? And our part, folks, is once we're saved, is to have a transformed mind, to not be conformed to this world system, to world think, and think biblically. So that's going to be our focus today. Would you please stand as we read the Word of God together? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the Word of God. Our Father, we give you thanks for this time that we have carved out here as a body of believers to worship you corporately, to learn corporately, to have the Spirit of the living God impact our lives with the Word of God, the truth. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The theme of Romans is the just shall live by faith. And for the umpteenth time, you'll say it with me. Sin, salvation, sanctification, sovereignty, service, and so long. And we're in that section called service now. What we are to do as believers. Now, just shall live by faith. Those aren't just words that we say every week. It's not just a quip that we say right quick. It is something that we want to digest. The righteous that have been born again of the Spirit are to live out this life by faith in Jesus Christ. He directs our path. We listen to him. Salvation is not by works at all. God has done all the work. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. No works, all by grace through faith, but with a transformed mind, not being conformed to this world, then we are to walk out our faith in obedience to our Lord and, in fact, work for him after salvation. So with that stated, every person has a responsibility to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. Every person has a responsibility. If you've been born again, Jesus Christ is your Savior. You said, I believe in you, Jesus. I place my trust in you. It's incumbent upon you to be on a growth journey, a growth journey. Now, what does a growth journey look like? What does it look like when a person has been born again? You start to look different than the world that you were extracted from. Remember, you were extracted from the kingdom of darkness, praised into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now you are to look different. There's a change that happens in our life when I submit myself to the rulership of Jesus. Now remember something. What comes into your mind influences how you think. Doctrine. When I say doctrine, that simply means teaching. What teaching you allow to come into your mind day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, influences the way that you think. So doctrine determines your worldview. Your worldview determines your values, and your values determine your conduct, how you're going to conduct yourself in this world. Now, I have a slide here with the world and a little glasses here. What is your worldview? How are you viewing your world? And there's a biblical worldview that is defined. Everybody has a worldview. Either it's going to be a biblical worldview or a secular worldview. And I like this slide that I stole from somebody. I don't know who it was. The way we think about our world, a biblical worldview is defined as the way we think about or view the world. Our perspective is based on thought patterns, what you allow into your mind, Everyone has a worldview, a bias on life. Depends upon what's inputting into your mind. It is the lens by which we interpret reality. Believers should see everything through a Christian lens based on biblical premises, biblical doctrines that are non-negotiable, biblical principles that apply these doctrines. And listen to this, less than 8% of American believers from all denominations appear to have a minimal biblical worldview. So 8% of people that claim the name Christian have a biblical worldview. But I want you to realize this. It's under age 30, 1% of the population or believers have a biblical worldview. 1%. It's stunning. Listen to these statistics. The American Worldview Inventory was done at Arizona Christian University. This is 2023, so it's really pretty current. It says this, 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview. 4% of the totality of 340 million people in this country have a biblical worldview. Of the 4% of the 340 million, 13% of born-again believers have a biblical worldview. 13% of the 4% have a biblical worldview. You wonder why your world is changing? You wonder why we're on a free fall in depravity? Because God has been taken out of the culture, and when there's a vacuum that will be filled, and the culture comes pouring into the church, and the church starts to look like the culture. I'll expand on that as we go. So when you think of America, think post-Christian. This is not a Christian nation any longer. It is way past being a Christian nation. A secular worldview has infiltrated the church. It has overwhelmed. It is a tsunami that has come into the church. Apostasy now reigns in most churches. When we say apostasy, it's falling away from the true faith. It is just we're inundated with false teaching. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 warned about the apostasy as we are closer to the end. Now, I think in that verse, it's really crescendoing into the tribulation. But folks, I believe we're on the precipice of this time when we see this massive falling away from the faith. 13% of born-again believers have a biblical worldview. That is appalling. That is appalling. Now, what has come into the church? What has invaded the church? Folks, you know the list. Abortion. There are people that say that abortion's okay. Homosexuality, transgenderism, we mention that frequently. But what about this? Christians sleeping around. Christians living together before they get married. It's just, that's the norm. That's the norm now. People don't even look at it. There's not even a check in their spirits. Cheating on your taxes. Situational ethics. Many roads leading to God. That is embraced by many people today. Universalism. Everybody goes to heaven. That's quite popular. There's no hell. That's really popular also. The Bible was written by men full of error. How can we trust something that's that old? How can we do that? Well, come to our class on July the 6th and you'll find out. The church has become more anti-Israel, and so much so that they're pro-Hamas, the slaughter of Jews. There's full embracing of world think, and it's permeating our churches, and it's not only our churches, our Christian universities that heretofore stood on the Word of God are putting out pastors that are progressive and woke and do not have a biblical worldview. That is the environment that we're living in today, and it is tragic. One of the things that you want to think about is this. If you take the Bible out, what will replace the Bible out? A secular world view. And it comes pouring into lives. It's pouring into your kids. It's pouring into your kids in high school and elementary school and kindergarten. They have things that are given to these kids to indoctrinate their minds. And certainly by the time you get to college, it is full speed ahead with the indoctrination. Bible out, world in. Stay in the word to keep world think out. Now, there is a spirit of the age that has come into our world. It's called the Zeitgeist spirit. It's entered America. It's entered the church. It's entered the workplaces that we work in. It's entered our families where our children or brothers or sisters or husbands or wives, anybody can be affected by this spirit. It's the spirit of the age. I have a slide here that just gives a small description of it. It's the spirit or mood of a particular period of history. The next slide. Any spirit that excludes the true God is a Zeitgeist spirit. And folks, we have that in this country in spades. In spades. So, what do we want to know? We want to know what truth is. What is truth? Where do I find truth? Is truth subjective? When I say subjective, it means you just develop your own truth. It's subjective. It's based upon you. That is false. There is a source of truth. So what is truth? The next slide is going to show you. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Identifies things as they actually are. Must be able to be expressed in propositions. Then they give an example, T plus T equals truth. Can never fail, diminish, change, or be extinguished. And it's sourced in the God of the Bible. Now, where do we find truth? In the God of the Bible, who is the author of all truth. Now, let me take a breath, cleansing breath. Now, when we look at Scripture, we see three things that are truth that we can anchor our souls in. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me, John 14:6. And then he says, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth in John 14:17. And in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. Everything must be filtered through the Word of God. So it's incumbent upon every believer to be immersed in the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says, to know what truth really is. That's exceedingly important. You are living in the midst of a spiritual war, battles every day, many times during the day. It is a truth battle for the mind. We are to test the spirits, folks, whether they are from God, 1 John 4:7. For many false prophets, many false teachers, many false information givers have gone out into this world. You are to test the spirits, whether they are of God. There's a huge problem, folks, with a Zeitgeist spirit in our culture. Most people, including believers, listen to this, arrive at truth by what they subjectively find attractive. I'm going to focus on things that I like, and that's going to be my truth. Listen to what Blaise Pascal says, a 17th century French philosopher. People almost invariably arrive at their beliefs, not on the basis of proof, but on the basis of what they find attractive. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? I want to take a little segue here and talk to you just a moment about this man, Pascal. And he has this thing called Pascal's Wager. He says this, make a bet. Now, this makes sense to me. Make a bet that there is a God who loves you. Just make a bet. If you are right, you have everything to gain. And if you are wrong, you have nothing to lose. Make a bet that God is real. He goes on to expound on this. Now, the next slide will be a fill-in here. Watch this. Blaise Pascal is a philosopher, mathematician, 1600. He gave the challenge. I love how this is written. If you believe in God and you're right, you've got everything to gain. Unconditional love. Oh, our God loves us. Purpose for your life. Everlasting life, not death, life, and more. If you're wrong, no harm, no foul. So, why not take a chance on faith? Explore those big questions. Stay open-minded and consider the incredible possibilities your journey of faith might just lead to something amazing. You in contact with the living God through Jesus Christ. Amazing. There's a problem. There's a problem in our world. Most people don't want the truth. Most people can't handle the truth. Now, I was going to have Jack Nicholson in that movie. You can't handle the truth. But then Chris counseled me. That might be a little overboard. So I was going to have him just, you can't handle the truth. Yeah. Most people live in this hazy truth fog, making up their own truth. And I want you to look around. Look around at the people who put the label on their life Christian. Put the label on their life. And they live like and look like just like the world system. They embrace the things in this world system and conveniently ignore the things that God finds precious. Most read the Bible and pick and choose out of Scripture what they like and leave the rest. Leave the rest. Sadly for the majority, Blaise Pascal was right. People believe what they find attractive. The lie. Truth. Truth. I'm going to give you three truth statements here. There's a plethora of them you could have. Truth. And I love this. You've heard it like 10,000 times. You've been extracted from the kingdom of darkness, placed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The instant you placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a kingdom transfer. Satan was your ruler. Now Jesus is your ruler. Hell was your destiny. Now heaven and eternity with God is your destiny. Folks, there's a big change. Darkness to light. Second truth, there's a real transfer, a real change of ownership. Now God owns you because you put your trust in Jesus as your Savior. Everybody born in this world is born into the kingdom of darkness, and the only way to be extracted is to believe and place your trust in Jesus. It's the only way. Scripture says that. Jesus said that. And third truth, this will result, this born-again kingdom change will result in a changed life, a new me. A new me comes out of this whole thing. I'm not the same person as I was. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become. That was good. That was almost good. Let's do it together. All things become new. You got that right. It's a new changed me. A new changed me. We are to take on the qualities of Messiah. So I have a mind change. A thinking change. Now, I want you to remember this. You are a tripart being. What does that mean? Well, it means that your body, soul, and spirit. God, when you said yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and gave your spirit life. Your spirit was dead in trespasses and sin, separated from God, no communion with God, and when you said yes to Jesus, your spirit now is able to commune with the Holy God. That's salvation. That's justification. That's Christ's righteousness being imputed to you the second you believed. However, now with sanctification, we are dealing with the soul, the mind, the emotion, the will. That has not been changed. That is part of the sanctification or being set apart unto God process. That will take time, and that is a lifelong process of growth. You must yield to the Holy Spirit to do this. You don't just change on your own. God is in you facilitating the change, but you must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in that change. So there's a battle for the mind. I just wanted to leave you with this last slide. The battle is for the mind. And our culture knows this. He who controls the mind controls the person. He who controls the mind controls the person. That's why they want to get your kids in kindergarten with the indoctrination to control the minds of our youth and to control the middle age. I'm not the middle age. To control the old age. You can. The whole thing is a change of our looks, a change of the way we see things. It's the reason for our mind assault today with tons of information coming at you at a continuum. So this week, we're talking about overcomers in a transformed mind. Now, when I say overcomers, every believer is looked at as an overcomer. But you only overcome for real when you're participating in that sanctification process where you're being conformed to the likeness of Christ, when you're changing from old you to new you. So verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, I urge you, I exhort you, I paracleto, I call you alongside myself to be a change, offer your body. Now the word, first word you see in that sentence is therefore. Why is it therefore? So if you're a Bible student and you see therefore, you want to know what preceded this. Well, chapters 1 through 11 talking about what God has done for humanity. 12 through 15, as I said in my opening, was what we are to do for our God once we've been saved, how we respond to Him. Now, think about this. Your body, the shell that you are encased in, this thing right here, that you're doing everything to prop up, okay? You're doing everything to keep this thing going. Our culture is body conscious. How I look is a huge deal. Everybody's involved in this. We paint our bodies. We pamper our bodies. We powder our bodies. We give deodorant. And by the way, deodorant is okay because, I mean, we went on a mission trip one time and we were sitting next to this guy on a plane, in the back of the plane. It was a French guy. They don't believe in deodorant. It was awful. I mean, 16 hours of smell. We had to rotate. Who's going to sit next to this guy? Yeah. I have no problem with deodorant. We take vitamins, and then we try vegan, juicing, exercise, then we run until we can't run, then we walk, then we try to lift to keep this body going and keep this body looking good. Now think about it. You go to your high school reunion. It's all about looking good. I still look good. That's at 5 years. You go to your 20-year reunion, and what do you need? Name tags. Because there's been this metamorphosis of change. Now, who are you now? I don't remember you quite. You go to your 50th year reunion, you don't even remember the guys with the name tags. I mean, your brain's gone, their brain's gone. I mean, there's this big change that goes on. This is a struggle to look young and sculpted because young is cool in this culture. It's not that way all over the world, by the way. Other cultures extol the elderly. Not here, it's the youth. It's the youth. You know, we're winding down. We're changing physically. There's a word, it's called entropy. Entropy. It's entropy is a measure of the disorder of a system or energy unavailable to work. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is your system changing? Are you having less energy available for work? Yes, we're winding down, folks. The truth is, you're winding down and you can't stop it. You can be on that treadmill. I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to be on that treadmill. I mean, my lipid level is good. I've been exercising all my life. Everything is great. And all of a sudden, I get a stent. And then it doesn't stop there. I get a pacemaker. Now, look it. My lipid profile is great. I did exercise all my life. I've eaten halfway decent. Well, maybe not great, but pretty good. And it still comes. It comes at you. You can't stop it. So, what you want to do? Men, tuck in your gut. Tuck it in. Don't let it hang out. Flex your muscles. Diet. Diet. Take more diets. Dress to impress. But nothing stops the slow fade. You can get facelifts. And I'm telling you, Burt Reynolds got a facial look. Now, he looks okay here, but this is not this. You are going to deteriorate. Doesn't matter how much money you have to change your appearance, you're changing. The outside is going to change. We're going to focus on the inside. You'll never look like you did, folks. You'll never look like you did. So we are to take care of our bodies because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you treat it right. So we do much pampering of it, but truth be told, we generally abuse our bodies. We don't eat right. We don't exercise. We're lazy. Many people drunk, take drugs, smoke cigarettes, smoke pot, eat tons of unhealthy food. By the way, Robert F. Kennedy hopefully is going to be able to change some of this food pyramid in our country. We're all guilty. What are overcomers to do with these bodies? Present ourselves. I beseech you, brethren. I urge you, brethren. Listen to the passion in his voice. I call alongside you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Who presents your bodies? You present your bodies. That's right. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is not a command. This is a plea that you do this, that you volitionally engage with the Holy Spirit and live a changed, conformed to the likeness of Christ's life. That's what this is all about. Remembering that, you want to remember something. When you were saved, you're born again into the family of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. He's Lord, Kurios, master, ruler, owner. But he's Lord whether you submit to him or not. Bear with me. Bear with me. Submitting to the lordship of Christ is the fruit of salvation, not the condition of salvation. Salvation is not based upon what we do, but based upon what he has done for us. With that stated, listen to this, I believe, and I believe the scriptures confirms this, that all true believers are in a process of change. Change life. And again, I've said this so many times, some people change slow, some people it's fast, but some change. You cannot come in contact with Jesus Christ and not be affected in some way. You cannot come in contact with that type of power and not be affected. Jesus said it perfectly in John 10:27. My sheep, those who really belong to me, hear my voice. And I know them. See, a lot of people say, I know Jesus. The important thing is, does Jesus know you? That's what's important. I know Jesus. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Are you following the Master? Because if you're following Jesus, there will be a change in your life. There will be a change. Again, it can be slow, it can be fast, but there's something that's happened to you. Again, what are overcomers to do? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, there's going to be some fights against this change, this presenting your body. The flesh isn't going to want you to change. It's going to be one big, giant flesh fight. Flesh fight. Flesh fight. Now, I don't know. When you were saved, it felt weird to me. I'm going, gosh, I think I'm changed. I think I'm supposed to do something different. I got saved. I was on a ship. I was miserable. I was going to go AWOL. I was going to run away from the Navy. And I called home, and my mother said, quit complaining, and she hung up on me. And I was at the bottom of a rung, and I'm walking out of the store, and I get this book by Billy Graham that talked me how to be saved. And I went to a hotel room in Portsmouth, New Hampshire in February 1968, and I became a Christian. And bells didn't go off for me, lights didn't shine, but I felt like, I think something's happened here. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But when I went back to my ship, I realized instead of trying to get out of work, skating around, trying to get it, doing the least thing I could possibly do, I would try. So I didn't want to try. I wanted to get out and cause trouble. When I tried, people said, good job, Gorham. And he petty officer stroked me, you know, and I said, oh, that felt good. So that's all the impetus I needed. So it was just more that I changed. And again, I still had struggles and things I didn't know. I was a baby. But there's some change that happens. Something happens to us. Overcomers. In a sense, when we submit ourselves to God, this is when we change. In a sense, this is when we submit to Him. Not make Him Lord, not make Christ Lord of our lives, but we submit to Him. Not make, we submit to Him. Christ is always Lord. Listen to this statement. Whether we recognize it, submit to Him or not, He is always Lord. How do I know that? Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's every human that's ever been created. That's every angelic being that's ever been created. That's all the angelic realm, good and bad. That's Satan himself. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kurios, master, ruler, owner. You want to know who's going to win this fight? Jesus wins. He is Lord of all. Never forget that. Focus now on a living sacrifice. That's written in the present tense. That's a continuous living sacrifice. I am continuing in a process of change. I may go up, I may go down, but folks, you want to have that climb up. Climb up. Continuous means to the death. I will serve my Lord until I die. Which is our reasonable service? Our service is worship to God, and that is reasonable for us to do because He is my King, He is my Lord, He is my Master, He is my ruler. I don't run the show. He runs the show. I belong to Him. That's our reasonable service. Worship comes from the Anglo-Saxon word worthship, to ascribe worth, value, the occupation with the greatness of God in His being. Now, I want you to think about something. We worship God when we serve Him. Every act of service we do is worship to our God. We worship Him certainly in church, in ministries. Every single person that has been born again of the Spirit, that says yes to Jesus Christ, you have been given a spiritual gift, an endowment by God to encourage, edify, and build up the church. Every single person in here has a spiritual gift, which is incumbent upon, who's a believer, has a spiritual gift that you use within the body of Christ. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. We also have ministries in our lives. In your workplace, you are going to be the best person for God's glory wherever you work. You're not working for the hospital, or you're not working for this department or that department or this institution. You're working for God. You're working for God. He's the one. If you're a husband, you're to be the best servant leader you can be. If you're a wife, you're to submit to your husband because he loves you. Children are to submit to their parents, that sort of thing. We worship God, and when we do not respond to our fleshly desires. We worship God when we don't act in a manner that is contrary to God. We worship Him. Every time I serve and obey God, I'm worshiping Him, ascribing worth to Him as an overcomer. I overcome every time I say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. And by the way, all humans are worshipers. You will worship something. Either you worship God or you get some other idol in there that you will worship. Some people worship video games. Some people worship sports. Some people worship their bodies. Some people worship their kids. Some people worship their relationship with their husband or wife. But nothing is to be before God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God is very, very straightforward with who is to be number one. It is to be him. Jesus, folks, is our greatest example. Jesus overcame everything that was thrown at him, the world, the flesh, and the devil, everything that was thrown at him. And Jesus did this. He kept his focus on his Father. I come to do the Father's will. My focus is on my Heavenly Father. Jesus was bound like a sacrificial animal. He allowed himself to be bound. He was offered himself up as a sacrifice. He overcame. He offered his body as a living sacrifice acceptable to God. He overcame the awfulness of the cross, the brutality and the pain of the cross, the embarrassment, hanging there naked before the world, beaten to a pulp, humiliated as they cursed him on the cross. He overcame. And the most difficult part of the cross was when darkness came over the face of the earth for 3 hours, when my sin and your sin and our sins from all of history went on Jesus. Every single one of them. And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt the pain of the separation that sin brings and the darkness. My God, where are you? I feel alone. What does this mean to me today? Jesus gave his all. And we sang it. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Folks, this is our time. You will have no other time to work for the Savior. No other time. This timeline, you entered here, dash, exit here. This is your timeline, whatever it is, to serve your King. Now, we have this one opportunity. This is it. So be all out for your King. Don't squander your time. Now, with that said, there's so few that do so much. And it's very easy for the few that do so much to get a little bit discouraged. Okay? So listen to this. It does not matter, overcomer. It does not matter that others will not give their all. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Overcome, folks. It does not matter if I have to stand alone. Keep your eyes on Jesus and overcome. It does not matter one hoot what the world thinks about me. Lunatic, crazy, religious zealot, madman, got religion, all the stuff they say about us. It does not matter. Keep your eyes on Jesus and overcome. The overcomer's duty to God is to worship and serve him. This is our purpose. Now, I'm going to give you a test. Is everyone ready for the test? What are overcomers to do? One word. We are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. The next verses tell us what not to do also and what to do. So you got one question. What are we to do with our bodies? Present. 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 So verse 2. Overcomer, do not be conformed to this world. Verse 2. And do not, this is what you're not to do, be conformed to this world, but transition, be transformed by the, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed. Do not be conformed. That's in the present tense again. That's an ongoing process. I'm working at not allowing worldthink to come into my mind and control me. I am looking at God's Word. Everything goes through what God's Word says. I take nothing in unless it's congruent with the truth. J.B. Phillips has a translation of the Bible. He says this about this word, this verse. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. And that's what the world's trying to do. Squeeze you into thinking just like the world. The world system, world think. The world system, folks, is controlled by Satan. Most people don't know this. Most people don't recognize it. Most people won't admit it, but hear the word of God. There's a zeitgeist spirit in our world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of Christ. God has to turn the light on for you. And then Jesus two times, John 12:31 and 14:30, calls Satan the ruler of this age, this world system. Make no mistake, this world, what you see in it, is run, orchestrated, controlled by the demonic realm. The world system, folks, is not your friend. Not your friend. It's actively involved in warring against you. Warring against you. That's very important. Everything in this world system is designed to attract and pull you away from God. Remember, Satan is great at casting doubt. First thing he did with Adam and Eve, has God thus said? Has he really said that you can't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil? What's he holding back from you? Has he really said? Doubt. He's a master at doubt. Doubt, deception, discouragement, division. He's a master at division, destruction. Remember what the thief comes to do, Jesus said? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, but Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, abundantly, overflowing. You know what Satan does? He masquerades as an angel of light. He comes, he looks good, he looks great, looks wonderful, terrific. His deception is his calling card. He changes his appearance, but he can't change his essence, who he really is. He comes as a kitten, raging, but he is a raging, roaring lion. He wants to devour you. He is the great deceiver. Satan is one who comes to you. He's a liar, a deceiver, and a killer. He's a killer of dreams, a killer of lives. He's a killer of hope. Middletown Bible Church, great place to go, great resource. Talks about the battle of the mind. They have this little drawing here that I thought was good. You've been born again. The world wants to affect you, your brain. World inputs constantly into your being, into your soul. They can't affect your spirit, but boy, they want your soul, your thoughts, feelings, and emotion. Let the Lord transform you from within as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Don't let the world conform you from without. In order to do this, be a little bit disciplined on what you allow into your mind. Do not go to movies. Do not read books. Do not read things that are contrary to the truth. Don't let the world conform you from without. I thought that was a good slide. Remember, Satan is your adversary. Satan is the accuser, diabolos. The devil means diabolos, the accuser of the brethren. A transformed mind, folks, is the goal. But a transformed mind is not automatic. It's not automatic. You just don't get born again and transformed. No, it's a process. It's a process of a being transformed and the renewing of your mind. Listen to this. Proverbs 14:15 is a great word for you today. The simple believe every word. Oh, they're all saying it. Everybody's doing it. Everybody in the class is doing it. Everybody at work is doing it. Everybody in the culture is doing it. The simple believe every word, but the prudent, the wise, consider well his steps. Don't believe everything you hear. All of it must go through the grid of Scripture. The truth must go through the grid. Transformed is another word written in the present tense, a continuous action. Now think about this. There's a caution that you want to think about as a believer. Living immersed in a culture that is inputting into you on a constant basis. Constant. Remember, I've said this many, many times. You are the most disadvantaged group of people that has lived in the history of the world because no one has been assaulted in their minds like you have. There's a mind assault today with information and technology that has never existed in the world until our time. Until our time. So, caution. If we lapse from time with God, now this is important. If we lapse from time with God, that means being in His Word, okay? From fellowship, service, we will drift back into old ways of thinking. This is 100%. You get away from God's Word, other inputs are coming into you, you will drift back. You're never going to float forward. You're always going to take the current. It's always going to drift back. We can be taken captive by worldthink. Believers that get captive by worldthink have done one thing. They've taken their oars out. They stopped doing the spiritual disciplines of being in the Word, fellowship, service. They stop rowing, and what do you know? The dude starts to fall asleep, and I'm telling you, he's on his little canoe, and everything is wonderful. Oh, be cool, dude. Be cool. Smoke a joint. Just let it float. Let it float. And then all of a sudden, this is your life. It's a mess. How did I get here? I'm going to court. Oh, geez. Now I'm on probation. Yeah. Folks, one thing you want to remember, 13% of believers have a biblical worldview. That means that 87% are floating and crashing. 87% of those who claim to be born again of the Spirit of God are floating and crashing. It's happening all around us. And you wonder, how did I get here? How did I get here? You can't stop the drift on your own. You can't stop the drift by wishing and hoping. You can't. Drift will only stop when you start to row again in concert with the Holy Spirit power that is in you. The transformed mind, the drift stop mechanism that you have is yielding to the Holy Spirit. Nothing magic here. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. Serve God. Really, it's really that simple. Stay in the Word. Stay in fellowship. And serve God. Nothing difficult here. Again, the transformed mind is not automatic. It's salvation. It's a process that takes place as we yield control of my life to God, to the Spirit. Paul warns, do not be taken captive, brethren. If he's warning that you can be taken captive, not to be taken captive, you can be taken captive. Do not be taken captive by world philosophies. Colossians 2:8. See to it. See to it, brethren. See to it that no one takes you, believer, captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Philosophy. The philosophies of this world. The pontificating on false truths. Philosophy. Philo. Comes from two words. Philo. Love. Sophia. Wisdom. The love of worldly wisdom. Love of worldly wisdom. Don't be taken captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition or the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. This world system wants you to focus on the basic principles of this world, not on Christ. They'll degrade you if you're a Christ follower. They will look down on you as not a non-thinker. You don't receive that. Don't receive that. A transformed mind, yield to the Holy Spirit mind, will not be, and this is a word I made up, snoozed. I wrote it in there, and there was no word like that. Snooze, I got snooze. But I smoozed by the world, by worldthink. World philosophies or aberrant thinking or any aberrant trend that they throw at us. It does not matter what the culture deems legal. It does not matter that the culture says, oh, it's so great and wonderful to kill the babies. Under the guise of women's reproductive rights, they never talk about the baby dying. Only the life people talk about that. Smoothed by the culture. The things that have come into their world, you know, the transgender, aberrant philosophies, You know, because pot is legal does not mean it's good. Because homosexual marriage was legalized does not mean it's good. These things have come into the culture, and the culture has embraced it, and the world expects us to embrace it and go, oh, cheery, we can't. We love them, but we can't embrace that lie. A woman's a woman, a man's a man, that's it. I mean, that's biology 101 until this recent time. So, important, transfer minds. Does not matter what anybody says. The transformed, renewed mind is the will of God. You want to know what his will is? Transform mind. Thinking differently. The will of God is for the believer to think like God, act like God, live like God wants us to live in this world. And remember, it's direction, not perfection. We can't be like God, but we're moving in that direction. We'll be changed one day, and we will see him as he is, and we'll be like him. Says in 1 John. What are we to do? Influence our world for his honor and his glory. Be truth speakers in your sphere of influence. I want to close with these thoughts from Middletown Bible Church. The transformed overcomer. I want what God wants. It's just that simple. I want what God wants. No more, no less. I don't want what the world has to give me. It may be attractive. It will be attractive. I don't want what the world wants to push down my throat. I want nothing but God's best. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Then they have this slide, which I think is good. God said, let us form man in our image. Imago Dei, in the image of Dei, deity, Christ. We are made in the image of God, deity, God, image. We are image bearers of God. We are to act like, look like, smell like, sound like our Lord, our Savior. The devil says, I will deform man from this image of God by sin. The world says, we must conform man into our image. We want the world, every person to think like, act like us, world think. Education says, let us inform man by knowledge. Society says, oh, we're going to reform mankind by the culture. But Christ says, I will transform man by grace. God said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. This, folks, is the Word of God, and this is the will of God for you. Make no mistake, you're not here by accident or chance. You have been born again by the Spirit. God has directed you here to hear this Word, and you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your greatest opportunity in the history of your life. You can say yes to Jesus right now. I believe that you died for me, Jesus. I place my trust in you as my Savior. I commit my life to you as my Savior. If you do that, you're born again instantly. And then you start the journey of growth. Know him and grow in him. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for this time. Thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. It is something that we can hold on to as truth. And I pray that every believer in here will run everything through the grid of Scripture. That every believer in here will be in fellowship, and every believer will be serving you, our great Lord, in some capacity. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to spend time with the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, do your work in each one of us. You're speaking to us, Lord. I know you're speaking to us. Speak to our hearts, and may we respond to what you are saying to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.